Want to thank my guest who finally got at least, I hope at least one good night's sleep. JB Pritzker is joining us this morning. First off, morning, and second, congratulations on Tuesday.
Good morning. Thanks, Tom. I'm so glad to be here, and thanks for the congrats. We really had a great night.
It was interesting because we all have different takeaways from Tuesday. And I was wondering, I want your takeaways for Tuesday, but I would like you to put them in two different categories. First, strictly in a Democratic sense, for the Democratic Party, what was your takeaway? Because mine was turnout.
Yeah, we had, remember, twice as many people showed up to vote in the Democratic primary as showed up in a Republican primary, and they were both contested in a major way. So, I don't think that bodes very well for Republicans. And, you know, the other takeaway, I guess I'd make sure to highlight is that I won in a six-way race. I won a majority of the vote downstate, 53%. And, you know, as you know, because you and I have met a number of times at your studio, I've been downstate more than any other candidate, and there's a reason for that. I really think downstate's important, and I plan to win downstate everywhere I can in the general election.
What do you think about the attorney general's race in a statewide view?
Wow, it's amazing what happened there, right? I think nobody really predicted that Kwame Raoul was going to pull that out. And so, you know, what a great victory for him. And, you know, I don't know, what did he win by, 1-2 points maybe?
Yeah, pretty good.
It was pretty impressive.
Well, nobody but me said, because I was talking with people before the election. I go, well, Quinn's going to win, name and recognition. I'm saying, wait a second. Name recognition is one thing, but it cuts both ways. And that was my concern, because you look back on Quinn, in particular, that's gubernatorial race, and they go, oh, well, everybody will recognize his name and they'll vote for him, but everybody will recognize his name. There's a two-way road. So the Republican, you kind of took a look at this real quickly. So we saw Erica Harold and, of course, Bruce Rauner, but as you mentioned, a significantly lower Republican turnout on Tuesday for the primary.
Right. I mean, I think there's no enthusiasm at all on the Republican side for Bruce Rauner, and there's unity on the Democratic side about ousting Bruce Rauner, and of course, it looks like on the Republican side, about half of Republicans want to get rid of him, too. So, you know, he's painted in a corner. I think there's no doubt that the only way that he sees out of it is just to go negative, and I think that's what he's going to do for the next 7.5 months, just run a nuclear negative campaign.
You know, it's interesting, whenever I started to pre-sell that you were going to be joining us after speaking with Jordan, by the way, I think one of the reasons you had a great turnout is because you had a great bunch of campaign workers, in particular Jordan, who I work with. I found out they're congenial, always positive, and trying to make availabilities for thus and media. And I know you've always been very flexible with me, but I think that's one of the things you look back on and you go, now I know why things turned out. Maybe not so much money as it was great people.
Well, thank you, and I like to say, and I said this in my career and my business, it's true about you know, working in the nonprofit world and government and in campaigns, and that's, you know, hiring great people makes you greater, and recognizing what you're what you're good at and what you're not good at, and hiring people that are good at the things you're not good at, you know, that just makes you better.
You know, because once we started pre-selling, you were joining us, one of the listeners messaged me on social media and said, would you ask J.B. Pritzker, would you ask Bruce Rauner if they would set a spending limit? And I thought it was an interesting idea, J.B.
Yeah, well, it actually is an interesting idea, although here's the problem. With Citizens United, the law of the land, unfortunately, that was a Republican Supreme Court ruling, it means that all of these independent expenditure organizations can go ahead and spend whatever they want, even if we made an agreement between the candidates. And, you know, the Koch brothers, right-wing network, and Sheldon Adelson, and all these right-wingers with all the money on the Republican side, I mean, they would vastly outspend Democrats if we let them, you know, have their way. So I'm for campaign finance reform, and in fact, you know, I think we're going to have to go for it after I win. But remember what Senator Paul Simon once said, which is, you know, even while we're fighting for campaign finance reform, we can't unilaterally disarm and let the Republicans have their way while we stand on principle, because they'll end up winning and there'll be no reform.
And see, and my takeaway from that statement is a bit more militaristic. If you're going to go to war, you don't limit how many bullets you take.
That's That's a good way to say it.
Hey, you know, what is your personal definition of a progressive, and the, in particular, your stance and how you see yourself in this context as a progressive inside the state of Illinois and its current political atmosphere?
Well, let's start with the idea of what it is to be progressive in general, which is to, you know, sometimes stand ahead of the pack or stand apart, you know, even when something might be slightly unpopular, to have the courage to stand up on conviction about what's right. Now, I believe this campaign is going to be about the kitchen table issues so important to working families across the state. I don't know if you would call this progressive. I would, which is we got to lower the cost of health care for everybody. We've got to lower the cost of university and community college education, provide a quality education for every child, and we've got to create jobs and raise wages in the state. And those are the things I'm going to focus on throughout the campaign and, frankly, as governor.
You know, it's interesting because I couldn't sleep after getting off. As a matter of fact, I was texting back and forth with Jordan trying to find a time. We were texting about the win and the enthusiasm there. And I kept listening back to the sound cuts that were supplied by the ABC radio network from your speech after the win, because that was declared by the Associated Press, I think, at 8:24 was when I actually saw it on Tuesday night. I remember it vividly going, it's 8:24. 13% of the precincts have reported, and they're declaring you a winner. And I heard this comment, it said health care, education, and jobs. And I was talking to our listeners, so I said, this is the items he thinks that I'm talking about, but I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about property taxes in relationship to the Illinois exodus. Because that was what was cut out and edited and delivered to us. So I don't know if you addressed those, but I wanted you to.
Yeah. Well, I did, and what I addressed about that is that we've got to change our tax system in the state, lower local property taxes, and have the state step up to the plate to pay more for education than the local property tax base does. That will be much fairer, because if we pass a progressive income tax, we're going to ask wealthy people to step up and protect the middle class from tax increases and protect those who are striving to get to the middle class. So that's very important to me. We have got to lower the overall tax burden on middle class people and people striving to get to the middle class and pay for our schools.
Because this progressive tax plan, I mean, there's already been one introduced in Springfield, but the Illinois Policy Institute's already putting out information saying your progressive or the progressive tax plan that's in Springfield, depending on what you read, starts increasing taxes on people who make as little as $17,000 a year. True or false?
No, that's false. That's false. That's the Illinois Policy Institute trying to reelect Bruce Rauner. That's absolutely false. Look, the fact is that almost every state in the United States that has a progressive income tax. We're behind in this regard. The federal government has a progressive income tax. It's the fairest way to go because you can protect people in the middle class from tax increases. What we really need to do, though, is stop talking all about taxes and instead talk about how we're going to create jobs in the state. And that is really the job of the governor. This governor's created almost no jobs. He never did before he was governor. He fired people to make money in his business. And I have created a lot of jobs, and I know how to do it, and we're going to do it when I become governor. We also, you know, the whole reason to create jobs, we can increase wages for people, right? We can attract people back into the state. We can have competition for labor, and people can earn a head of household income so they can pay for the bills that are coming in. And then if we can lower health care costs, boy, that will make a big difference. And I put out a plan that'll help us do that.
Because you can't help but think when you see the new census report, specifically in Cook County, 20,000 people left in 2017, 13,000 of those from the Chicago metro area, the only top 10 metro in the United States that lost population. And then you see the report downstate. And when you do the survey action, you take a look at, for instance, the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. They say the reason why they're leaving? Taxes. The Illinois exodus.
And remember why so many people are leaving, in addition to the fact that Bruce Rauner hasn't created any jobs and the tax system is regressive. In addition to all of that, when you don't fund our universities or our MAP grants, those monetary assistance program grants for students, guess what happens over the 3 years of Bruce Rauner's tenure? We've lost 72,000 students who would have otherwise gone to university in Illinois. When they leave, about 70 to 80% of them don't come back, and those are our best economic resources for the future. Those are also our kids. We should want to keep them here, and that's part of the big exodus from the state.
You know, which is one of the things that we concern. It's interesting because recently participated in a job fair, some 74 different businesses there. It appears now we have come through an interesting location here, at least in southern Illinois. Can't speak to the rest of the state. We have jobs. We have nobody who wants them. And I'm running into this a lot, and I'm learning this from the Illinois Department of Employment Security and watching at job fairs where they're going, we're not coming back because there's no candidates.
Well, we've got to make sure that our training programs, our apprenticeship programs are in good shape, and we got to put vocational training back in high schools, and that's something important that I'm running on.
Yeah, it is something that we're going to be spending some more time here on the station, too, in particular. If there is one area that downstate Illinois has the deepest concerns about J.B. Pritzker as governor of the state of Illinois, it's guns, J.B.
Well, I would say jobs is actually an even bigger issue. Everywhere I travel around southern Illinois, what I hear is there's no job creation. People are having to rely on the government to, you know, either build up or build back correctional institutions or invest in higher education. And, of course, we do need to do that. But we also need to rely upon the innovation, creativity, entrepreneurship of southern Illinoisans who want to start businesses. And I have done that, you know, help people start businesses, thousands of them. And I really believe that that's a big, big part of how we're going to create jobs in the state. And then, of course, you need to have a governor who's not bad-mouthing the state so that we can attract big businesses to southern Illinois. And I'm going to do a good job of that. I've been pretty good at it through the course of my life, and I think I'll be really good at it as governor.
Yeah, but the issue, then I'll acquiesce. You say jobs number one, then I'll acquiesce and say guns number two, because when people reach out to me about today's interview, they want to hear you talk about your proposals for gun laws and where you think Illinois should go. I've got a lot of people saying they want to hear you talk about gun laws.
Well, good. I'm glad to do that. And, you know, listen, I think there are reasonable gun safety measures that most people agree on. I don't think we need high-capacity magazines or bump stocks. I think most people agree with that. And, you know, I think we've got to focus on the illegal guns that are flowing over the border from outside of Illinois. You know that in the major cities in Illinois, even outside of Chicago, the majority of the gun crime is committed with guns that were acquired from out of state and they're used illegally. We can do a lot in a regional compact with the governors and the governments around us to keep the guns in those states from flowing over the border. I think that'll be one way to do it. The other is, you know, for Chicago, just to remind everybody, there are basically three gun stores across the border in Indiana where people go to get guns and bring them back over the border, and most of them, you know, unfortunately, will be used for illegal purposes. So we can monitor that and do a much better job of preventing those guns from getting onto the streets.
Non-binding referendum on recreational marijuana in Chicago, and you can't help but wonder what the future of marijuana is in the state when you realize our medical program is basically a limited-time pilot program.
Well, the future of medical marijuana and recreational marijuana under my administration will be that we're going to legalize it, expand the medical uses of it, but make sure that we're regulating recreational marijuana. And, it's a racial justice issue in part, but it's also a tax revenue for the state and a job creator. We can, you know, as has happened in so many other states now, when they legalize it, we can bring in $350 to $700 million of tax revenue, create jobs. We can, we can even legalize the growing of hemp, which should have been done years ago anyway. And, I think it's time.
You know, when I was listening back to the sound cuts from the speech in Chicago, and I'm having a problem, and I've told you this before, I'm having a hard time reconciling your race, talking so much about Donald Trump. It's on your website, too. And then you've spoke about it here on the station. And when I was listening to you, and not seeing you, just listening to you, I thought, I had this moment of clarity, and I thought J.B. Pritzker is going he's going to be governor of Illinois, and he's going to be president of the United States. He's going to run for president of the United States afterwards.
Oh, God. No, I'm running for governor of Illinois. We've got enough challenges here in Illinois for someone to spend quite a lot of time on. So that's what I'm going to be doing. When I talk about Donald Trump, what I'm talking about is not letting Donald Trump have one inch of Illinois or to ill affect the families of Illinois by taking away health care as he is trying to do. We just have to protect the people of Illinois. You need a governor who's going to do that. Bruce Rauner's been an utter and complete failure at that and so many other things. I don't think anybody feels that Bruce Rauner's accomplished anything. And the truth of the matter is that you need a governor who's going to get things done, who's got a history of getting things done. Bruce Rauner never had that before he got elected. He certainly doesn't have it in 3.5 years in office. I have a record of getting things done for families across Illinois, and I'm going to do much more when I become governor.
Yeah, I know I went over my time. I appreciate you being so tolerant.
Oh, Tom, you know, it's always great to talk to you. I really appreciate it. I know your listeners are very important. They're important to me, and that's one of the reasons I've spent so much time across the state, and particularly in the southern counties of Illinois.
Good, because the next time you and I get together, I'd really, really would like to hear more about this health care plan.
Good.
Because I don't think you can fix health care in 2.5 minutes or an 8-second soundbite. And when you look at when you ask somebody about their insurance, it's always interesting to watch their eyes roll back in their head.
I hope you and others listening will go to my website at jbpritzker.com/issues, and you can read about my health care plan because it really will expand health care and it won't cost the taxpayers.
A personal question, okay?
Yes, sir.
Between a couple of guys, all right. Can a billionaire who grew up around as much money as you did, can you understand a guy who makes $22,000 a year and is trying to bust ass to make a living? Can you make that leap of empathy and understanding and put yourself in his work boots or her work shoes at the hospital or the person who's working in Murfreesboro at the courthouse for the sole purpose of supplying insurance for his family? Can you make that leap across that chasm?
Well, I have been fighting for the values of the Democratic Party my whole life, of expanding health care, making sure that we're providing school breakfast. You know, I expanded that program so that 230,000 kids would be covered in low-income school districts. I worked on early childhood education. Thousands of kids get it, at-risk kids across the state. I think I've proven over the course of a lifetime what my values are. And look, my values are strong Democratic values. Just like, you know, the values that FDR brought when he became president of the United States and through his career in politics, just like John F. Kennedy, you know, these are two of the wealthiest men in the history of the United States, and yet they stood up for progressive Democratic values. That's what I'm going to do as governor.